Tommy C. from the Love in Action, a name he contributed, home group in Greensburg, Pennsylvania.
I'm not in competition for hugs. I'm not much of a public speaker, but I'll do my best. The fact that I have a topic makes it a little bit easier for me to say anything. I'm not real good at conversation, but if I have a topic, I can go with it for at least a little while. So I also like to say that I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to lecture. I'm not here to preach. I'm just here to tell my story as best as I can. Could we restart this with one more version of the Serenity Prayer? God, grant us the serenity
to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I love that prayer when we do it as a group because it makes me feel like everybody's on the same page, you know. But I'm supposed to talk about the 12th step and especially conscious contact. Well, step work in general, I didn't start until almost 15, even 17 years into my addiction and recovery. I started recovery back in 84 down in Morgantown, West Virginia. And I didn't get serious about step work till my clean date, which is October 1st, 1999, coming up on 8 years clean. I say that as a point of reference because actually all we do have is today. I believe that sincerely. The only thing we do have is one day reprieve. No matter how many years you have, I've seen guys with 10, 13, and still relapse, so it does happen. I don't wish it on anybody. But I did a lot of relapsing in that 15 years time till I finally got serious about step work. I had a new sponsor, and he was like real big on helping me with the steps, and he helped me with my fourth and fifth. And I wanted to say something about the spiritual awakening aspect of the 12th step. Spiritual awakening doesn't necessarily have to happen at the 12th step exactly. It could happen anywhere along the way, actually. Little awakenings, you know, like even when I pick up the literature and I read it, I have a little awakening each time because I learn something new. Almost every time I read that book, there's something new I hadn't noticed before, you know. So that's kind of an awakening for me. As far as conscious contact with a higher power, like I said, I'm not here to preach, but my story is I did get baptized in the Spirit, and that's where my spiritual life began. And I was already in recovery, too, so it's God as I understand it. Not necessarily the God of the church or the book. It's my own understanding that matters. Conscious contact. For that, I practiced a lot of fake it till you make it. When I was in a rehab once over in Catani, the one thing I remember out of that, except for the fact that I gave a lead, my first lead ever, and there was a what they call an agnostics prayer on the wall there. And I read something like, "Dear God, I don't know if you actually exist or not, but I'm going to pray to you anyway." So I did a lot of fake it till you make it when it comes to like conscious contact with God, because I don't always get a message clear direct to me in my head or in my heart or whatever, but I always get a message through other people, and that's what to me makes the fellowship work. The fact that every time we get together, we have an opportunity to learn something new. And I believe that God works through other people, too. This is going to be a pretty short talk. Right now, I'm drawing a blank. I wanted to mention, too, my sponsor helped me with my 12-step. And he told me pretty much the same thing. And when I was done with the 12th step, or so I thought I was done with it, or at the time, I should say, at the time I was done with it. But then I said, now that I've done all 12 steps, you know, what am I supposed to do now? And he just said, recycle. Go back through them again. Because you do learn something new each time. Or I do, anyway. So my conscious contact means the love of the fellowship more than anything mystical. People love me, people hug me, people respect me. I try to show the same respect and love that other people taught me how to give to them. So when God speaks to me, it's usually through another human being. I really don't have much else to say. Okay? Everybody cool with that?
Okay.
I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Karen S., whose home group is Miracle in the Mountains in the Poconos.
Good morning. I'm Karen. I'm an addict. Thank you for sharing. I'm nervous, but, you know, the blessings of this program is I have developed, you know, a higher power, a God in my life that I've learned to trust no matter what and no matter how nervous I feel. If I invite God in, like, God will share through me, and if I can help one addict with one thing I say, you know, like I've been a service to God, you know. But anyways, conscious contact in step 12, it's kind of, I like to start with the conscious contact because that reminds me of step 11, and which leads me to step 12. For me, the 11th step, like, took on a new meaning. You know how they say the steps are in order for a reason? Like, it's so true. Because, like, when I first came around, like, all right, in step 12, it says, like, an addict with 2 days clean goes up to an addict with 1 day clean and says, you know, like, an addict alone is in bad company, right? So you're being a service there, you know, giving someone a hug, making coffee. Like, we're doing service work the minute we come in the door. We really are. But through the process of the steps, it gets real different is all I can say. It gets real different. It gets somewhat a lot less selfless, you know. So the importance of going through the previous steps is real important. For me, working step 11, it was a beautiful experience. Working all the steps was a beautiful experience. I mean, the journey of the steps, like, has changed my life. That's what it's all about. You know, when I came into the rooms, like, I had no clue. He talked about the little spiritual awakenings along the way. I've had, like, so many of them. And me and my friend Jack used to call them spiritual awarenesses, right? Because it said, as a result of working these steps, you know, this is where we work step 12, you know. And so we just said we'll call them spiritual awarenesses. But my first spiritual awareness, my first any type of contact with God once I was on the process of getting clean happened before I came into the room. I was desperate. I had been detoxing off of methadone for a year and a half, doing it all by myself, you know, moved from New York to the Poconos, just like isolated, alone, afraid, full of fear. And I had stopped using street drugs. And for me, that was a big thing after 27 years to stop that. And then one day I had made a decision because of some things happened. I don't have time to get into all that. But I was going to get high again, you know, and I had not used street drugs. But to me, that was a miracle in itself. So I was desperate and I prayed. Kind of like what he said, fake it till you make it. I did that for a while in recovery because they said in step two, like, it's okay. It's not being dishonest. Go through the motions. Practice it. Act as if until it becomes real for you. You know what I mean? So my first spiritual awareness was getting on my hands and knees and crying and begging God. And I was bargaining with God and everything else. If you're real, whoever you are, whatever, like, I really don't want to use, you know. Like, please intervene. Give me a sign. And, you know, I did a lot of that in early recovery. Like, give me a sign. And, like, my God loves me so much. Like, for me, this is my experience, strength, and hope. He's given me all those spiritual awarenesses along the way, which has enabled me to stay here today. But anyways, I did that praying. I was crying and everything else. And the next day, my husband came home from New York, and he was supposed to come back with drugs. You know, and as soon as I saw him, all that praying went out the window, right? I'm like, okay, where's the stuff? Where's the coke, dope? You know, like, let's do this. And he says, I don't have it. You know, and I was, like, devastated, you know? I'm like, what do you mean you don't have it? He said, I got fired from my job. He was in this union job for 16 years, and he got fired, and he was too devastated, and he didn't bring drugs home. And for me, that was my spiritual awareness. And we'll experience a lot of this on a personal level. To me, that was a God. Whoever, whatever he was, he intervened, man. The drugs did not come back. And the night before, I was bargaining with this God that I don't have no idea who it is, you know, and told him. And that's the self-centeredness, you know. That's like the core of our disease. It was all about me. And in my bargaining, I said, like, God, if you do this for me, I'll go back to Narcotics Anonymous. Like, who the heck am I, right? So anyways, that's what I did. I looked in the phone book. Thank God for public information. I didn't think there was NA in the Poconos where I was. It was a big change from New York, so I just assumed there was no meetings, you know. And sure enough, there was a helpline there, you know, and I called, and I had made my first meeting, and that was February 13th, 1996, and I've been in this process since, you know. And I had relapsed, and when I relapsed, we're not promised to make it back. I went back out there for 11 years, you know, and it's by the grace of God and my little spiritual awareness that gave me the strength to come back to the rooms. But anyways, working 11-step, I would have never been able to even work an 11-step without going through the previous steps because, you know, like I was totally insane, you know, totally crazy, full of defects, you know, and I can remember working on my second step saying I'm a sponsor. I can't write on this step. I can't work it because there's no insanity in my life, you know, because once I stopped using the drugs, like things just got better naturally. Like I didn't steal and I didn't try to hurt people anymore and just naturally things got better. So I really believe there was no insanity in my life. And she's like, well, pray anyways. Pray for the step to be revealed. But, of course, I didn't pray for the step to be revealed. I prayed, like, God, show me the insanity. And we know how that goes. Be careful what you pray for. Mm-hmm. So, like, in this process, and especially in step three, I learned to pray for, you know, the knowledge of God's will and the power to carry it out. You know, like, God, my prayer is just like, God, guide me and direct me. You know, first, thank you for another day clean. That's the first thing out of my mouth in the morning. And then it's like, let me be a better person today than I was yesterday and show me how I can serve you better. And like, I just practiced this stuff. And I really didn't, I believed there was a higher power working in my life. The higher power was like you guys, you know, like I believed like you guys could stay clean, I could. Because at first I was hopeless and I'm like, no way, like, you know, I'm supposed to die a junkie, you know, this isn't for me, it works for you guys, but I'm different. You know how we disqualify ourselves. But like, I had the hope. You guys gave me so much hope. You know, like my first meeting I went to was after a function, you know, and everyone came in with their new sweatshirts and big smiles on their face, and they're all sharing about their weekend, and it was like attractive. Because like I said, I was isolated and alone, you know, detoxing off this methadone all by myself with no support. Like we need each other. I learned that in the first step, the power of the we of this program. Like we really need each other. So anyways, like I said, I have to go through that process to have any type of conscious contact with a higher power. First, I had to find out what it was for me. And like when I was working that third step, like I was exploring different things because I didn't really know. I knew like God works through you guys. It worked through the meetings. Like I always got what I needed. I prayed and results were happening. And like I believed. But I wanted more. I wanted to know more about my higher power, you know. So I started already in the third step looking different places, trying different things, going places, having people share their experiences with me. And I found something that was working for me for a while, you know, and I shared it with other people, you know, and people judged me, you know, and that's why the beauty of the 11th step, you know, it tells you, you know, like in the 11th tradition, it talks about that anonymity, you know, and we practice these principles in all our affairs. In the 11th step, you know, I kind of learned, like, I don't have to go around telling you, you know, like, what my God is and stuff. And, you know, if you ask me on a personal basis, I'll be glad to share it with you. You know, that's what the 12 steps about. One addict sharing with another, helping another. You know, just be willing to take that time to help someone that helped you. But anyways, I can remember that, you know, and people saying, oh, you're going to go out on religious zeal. They gave me a little, my friends, the one, and they loved me. Don't get me wrong. They loved me, but they gave me this nickname, Miss Spiritual. What do you think? You're Miss Spiritual. And like, it was part of my process, you know, and like, my belief of a higher power has evolved over time. I've added new stuff. I've subtracted stuff that hasn't worked, you know, like that little thing that I was on. There was some things there that made me have to look at, you know, and the beauty is, you know, with the God of your own understanding, like I found what could work for me, you know. So anyways, I love that because this thing that I was doing with this spiritual advisor, there was a parts of it I didn't like. Like, this person had told me some things. If you're not this, like, this is going to happen and blah, 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 which I'm not going to get into. But, like, a friend of mine was practicing a different type of meditation and had different spiritual beliefs, you know. And basically, they said, this person will burn in hell if they don't do this. And I'm like, there's no way. Okay, time to revise this. Time to revise the belief. And that's okay. And like I said, it's changed many times through the process. But I could never, ever have quieted my mind, even for a minute, you know, to practice prayer I had done right along. But meditation, you know, I would try here and there. I would try just to quiet the mind, to pray, to kind of like listen for answers, just to quiet myself and just to feel and just to be. And I couldn't. I could have never, ever done it because, like I said, with that insanity in the second step and, you know, being full of defects and, like, the thought running and all that, I could have never even quieted myself. I can now, not for long periods of time. What really helps me, part of my meditation is, like, with nature. Like, if I'm by the ocean, I can be quiet. I can just be. I can listen, you know. If I'm by, like, a running brook out in the woods all by myself or in a field, you know, just listening to the birds, like, that stuff brings me peace. It quiets me. But, like, without the process of the steps, I would have never been able to quiet down. You know what I mean? It was too wild. And, you know, the process has been beautiful. I remember writing on the 11th step, and one of the questions in the 11th step was to write down the qualities, okay, that your higher power has. So I'm answering the question, I'm writing down the qualities, and I'm getting a whole bunch of stuff, and, of course, they're all spiritual principles that I learned in the previous steps, right? And then when I got at the end, I got another little spiritual awareness. I'm like, wow, I could have wrote this in one word, love. All of this is love. This is what it's all about. Narcotics Anonymous is all about love. My God is all about love. Patient, tolerant, forgiving, you know, humble, all those things. And, like, if you wrap it all up into one ball, it's all about love, you know. And, like, it felt good. It just really, really felt good. But anyways, talking about the 12th step, like I said, you know, when we come in the rooms, we can start doing it. But, like, for me, my motives were different when I first came around. I so much wanted to belong. Like I said, I was isolated, alone. I had no social skills. You know, I just come off of, like, being homeless for 10 years, living in the streets of New York, you know, and, like, had no skills, social skills. I couldn't talk to people. I used to get nervous inside, turn red. You know, I couldn't share in a meeting. I couldn't raise my hand. Like, I was a total mess. You know, this process of the steps has changed me. You know, I have grown, and I continue to grow a day at a time. You know, it's beyond my wildest dreams. Like, the gifts are of a spiritual nature for me. There's been other gifts, too, but the gifts of a spiritual nature, the greatest gift I've gotten from working all the steps and getting to step 12 is, like, some self-acceptance. Like, I can be me. When I first came around, like, I couldn't. You know, I had no self-acceptance. Like, I mean, I just kind of, like, loathed myself and figure everyone else loathed me, you know. But through working the process of the steps and learning to accept others, I was able to accept myself a little bit. And, like, I can just be. At one time, I could have never even stood up here, but stand up here with no makeup on, and I didn't take a shower this morning because my towel's out on the line soaking wet, I would have never. Like, I don't have to wear makeup today. When I first came around, for the first 2 years, in the hot summer with shorts, I'd wear pantyhose because of the track marks and scars on my legs. Like, the embarrassment, no acceptance, total denial. Like, if you don't see it, then you won't know. You know, just like, it's not the stuff on the outside, it's the stuff on the inside. I am who I am. My God loves me so much. My higher power, like, saved me and brought me here. Like, I'm just supposed to be who I am, you know? It's okay if I got scars on my nose, face, my whole body. That's not who I am, you know? It's all part of the process. But anyway, step 12, like I said, I started practicing that from the beginning. You know, when I first got in the rooms, I wanted to live. Okay, and I wanted to be a part of you guys. I saw the happiness and the joy in everybody, and I wanted to be like you guys, you know. I wanted what you had. And they said if I wanted what you had, I had to be willing to take certain steps. You know, I have to get in with working the steps, you know, and learning how to live them in my life. That's the most important thing. We can write on them, we can read them, we can attend step meetings, but the application is the part, and that's where the change goes. And it's been a beautiful process. Like, I wish everybody a beautiful process with the steps, because it's just awesome. But anyways, I got involved in service right away, you know, because the people that were happy with the smiles on their faces and doing what they got to do, they were, like, all involved in service. So, like, okay, I'm going to follow you. I was willing. I was beaten, okay? Like it says in the first step, when we are beaten, we become willing. I was willing to go to any length to stay clean. I would do whatever I had to do. The only thing I didn't follow was getting in a relationship. But mostly everything else, like, I did follow. You know, I got with the steps. And they did say, if you're in a relationship, you must keep your recovery first. My sponsor can't tell me to be in a relationship or not, but, like, my recovery must be first. And I was able to do that. Like, on the nights when he said, let's just stay home and watch a movie, you know, and I go, no, I got to go to a meeting, you know. And eventually he was that way, too. And some days I was the one sitting home with the kids, you know, and he'd go to a meeting, you know. But it was real important. I don't think I'd be here today. I know I would not be here today if I did not keep my recovery first. So anyways, if you don't get this program will get you if you just keep coming back. That's why they say just keep coming back. 45 days into my process, I went to area service. They thought I had a year and a half clean. Because, you know, the methadone whole thing, and, you know, like I said, I was in this process before, you know, I had 89 days and relapsed for 11 years. So I told everybody, my first meeting, a year or more clean time, I raised my hand, I got a key tag, I got the hugs, and the outer appearance looked good because I had gained weight, I had jewelry clothes because I had been detoxing off the methadone and not using street drugs. But anyways, they brought me to area and they voted me into a position, second secretary position. I'm like, I don't know how to type, I don't know how to do any of this. They said, are you willing to serve? Do you love NA? And I'm like, I love NA, and yes, I'm willing to serve. And they said they'd help me and they'd guide me, like the week of the program. People will be there for you. So I took the position, which had an 18-month clean time requirement, which they assumed I had, you know. But anyway, 45 days, you know, into this process, you know, I started feeling guilty. You know, the honesty of the program got me. I did no longer feel comfortable. I felt, I knew, they didn't know, you know what I mean? And it just wasn't right. The program got me, man. And I went to my home group, you know, and I raised my hand and I told everybody that I lied to them. You know, I said, I really don't have that clean time. I was detoxing off meth. I was still, even though it was a low dose, I was on a low dose at that first meeting, and I knew I wasn't clean, but I wanted you guys to accept me. I didn't want you guys to, you know, like, judge me and shun away from me. So that's why I lied. And everybody just yelled out, like, we love you. Keep coming back. And one guy yelled out, we love you even more. Imagine that. I just lied to you all, and, like, you're saying we love you even more. And, like, I got the God bumps, and it just felt all good. And I'm like, wow, you know, this is what I've been searching for all my life. And it's love, you know. And I really, that's when I really realized that in the 11th step, like I said earlier. I mean, that's what it's all about. So anyways, they let me keep my position. They gave me a manual typewriter. I did not know how to type. And I did it with two fingers at a time, and I used to type up the minutes. It would take me a week. I'd be up till 3 a.m. typing minutes, but guess what? I was willing, and it helped me to stay clean. So, like, service is a big part of my recovery. I continue to be of service. Not the way I was in the beginning, and my motives are not the way they were in the beginning. Now, I just did it because I wanted to be accepted. I wanted you guys to like me. I was people-pleasing. I was full of defects. You know, didn't know it. Didn't think I had defects either, never mind the insanity. I didn't have defects. You know, what do you mean? I'm generous, I'm kind, I'm loving. You know, like, boy, was I in for a surprise. And that's why this is a process, you know. But, you know, I stayed involved in service. I fellowshiped with people. I made meetings as much as I could, you know. I showed up early to my home group, stayed late, sat up front. Okay, I still sit up front, You know, like they say, you don't know exactly what's working, so continue to do what you did. If you never leave the basics, you'll never have to go back to them, so keep doing what you're doing. Like, things have changed. But in the beginning, my motives, like I said, were different. And as I went along, and people started patting me on the back, and I'm having 3 service commitments at a time, and, you know, I started to get an ego. You know what I mean? I started to feel like, look what I'm doing. And then I'd be saying, well, they're not involved in service, and pointing the finger, and like, my motives were all twisted. But like I said, it's part of my process. I don't question any of it. That's the way it was supposed to be. I've learned an immense amount through this process, and it is what it is. You know what I mean? It is what it is. So I started to get a little ego. I started to get prideful, you know, and all these things I'm learning along the way to help me with my step work, too. You know what I mean? But my motives weren't purely like ego-driven. It was like the ego-driven, the people-pleasing, I want you to like me. And the biggest part, though, really was, is like I wanted to live. I did not want to die. I did not want to go back to the way I was. I did not want to spend the rest of my life in and out of jail, sleeping on freaking cardboard boxes in the subway station. Like, I wanted to live. So I was willing to do whatever, you know. And I'll tell you, service helps you to get real connected. They say, like, get in the center of everything so you don't fall off the edge. Like, that's real true. You know, if you're in the center, you're surrounded. People care. People used to call up if I didn't make my home group. Like, where were you? And that feels so good. Doesn't love feel so good to be cared about and to be loved? It's like an awesome process. But as a result of working the steps, like they say, with the 12 steps, after going through the steps, like, it changed a whole bunch. Like, my motives became less selfish, you know, more selfless. Oh, and the other motive, too, was to get away from my kids, okay? And that's being real honest. When I came in this process, I did not know how to be a mother. I had had 5 children, lost 3 of them. My parental rights were terminated due to my using, a direct result of my using, because I placed my using ahead of the welfare of my children, my family, my everything. My drug became everything. And I felt nothing. Oh, and that's another thing. The greatest gift of them all is to be able to get empathy and feeling. That's what the 12 step will do. Feelings for others. And just be able to feel. I was so blocked when I came here, I couldn't cry. People would tell me something, or we'd watch a sad movie, and everyone's crying, and I'm like looking at them like, what's going on? But like, I was so used to being blocked, man. But the process of the steps, like, opened that all up. And, like, I can cry today. I was crying last night when the newcomers, you know, with 60, 30 days, I got God bumps through my body, man, and I just started crying. And it's crying with joy because I just know what they're in for. I know this process. I know how they're going to change, and I know the joy it's going to bring, and it just brought tears to my eyes. It was, like, awesome. You know, if you just stick and stay, we can get through anything together. There are no reasons to use. You can give me a million excuses. You can talk to me after the meeting and say, well, I got to use because of this. You know what? There's a solution. There's nothing we can't work through together. There's nothing, you know. You know, pain shared is pain lessened, you know. And that's where we got to make ourselves available. But anyways, like I said, my motives for service had changed. I had to slow down in service. I got married 4 years ago. And after my first year of marriage, things started to change. You know, like my husband would say, like, you know, what about us? You know, we get clean and, you know, service running, everything's Narcotics Anonymous, and I love NA and it saved my life, but like I got a home and I got kids and like I got to show up there too. So, you know, like my husband would say, your sponsees is a 60-hour a week job and there's only 40 hours in the week. He's like, you know, you're always with them, you're always on the phone, or you're at a meeting and you're never here, and like, what about us? You know, and I had to take a look at that, you know, and like, God just works the way God works, and everything happens the way it's supposed to and right on time, you know. And like I said, I had lost those children through this process, and right around this time, well, 2 years ago, a year after that, I had cut back a little. I still had an area service commitment, but, you know, I had slowed down with everything a little bit, you know what I mean? And I was trying to be at service at home because it says we practice these principles on all our affairs. And my sponsor told me I needed to do that too. And she also told me that there's something called the spirit of rotation. And, like, we need to step back. The newcomer, she said, is not going to step up at an area service meeting and raise their hand and say, I volunteer, when you got your big-ass hand up there that's had all these service committees, commitments. They're going to be intimidated. Service. Step back. Let the next person serve. You know, and that made sense to me. And everything was right on time. Right on time. You know, and 2 years ago, two of my children that I had lost when they were 1 and 3, they ended up being adopted together. In early recovery, I started looking for them on the internet and adoption search sites and all this stuff, and I got totally obsessed. It was like I was using drugs, okay? I would stay up to 4 or 5 in the morning on my web TV, because I couldn't afford a computer back then, searching for my children, okay? And praying to God, let me find my children. You know, I need them. I want to know they're okay. It was so self-centered. So self-centered. It was all about me. I wasn't thinking, how are they going to feel? You know, what are they going to, you know, what's their process? It was all about me still. You know, and like it got so unmanageable in my life. You know, I had to work the first 3 steps big time, because I got to the point when the pain got great enough, I had to surrender. And that sometimes, that was a lot in my process, you know. So, I was neglecting my kids that I had home, the two, you know, because I'm staying up to 4 a.m, I'm sleeping late, I'm not up with them making breakfast, my mind's consumed with this when I should be coloring with my kids or playing Matchbox cars or Barbies or something, and I'm in total obsession, you know. But eventually, like, it got really painful and really unmanageable, and, like, I was able to stop by sharing with others and, you know, people pointing out things to me, like, what about your kids? And, you know, all that stuff. You guys are my eyes and ears, man. Alone, I can slip right into that and think I'm doing the right thing and thinking my motives are fine, you know, but I need you guys. So anyways, I let that go for many years, you know. And then as a result of working all the steps, you know, finished step 12, you know, just kind of in between now. And, like, I got a phone call, you know, from this 18-year-old girl that claims to be my daughter, you know. And I had let it go, you know. And when I let it go, and when I trusted in the process and I trusted in God's time, like, God gave me a gracious gift. Talked about those gifts that we get, you know. And like I said, mine are spiritual. And this was a spiritual gift to have my kids call, you know. It was amazing. But anyways, I trusted in God. I was full of fear. I thought they were going to shoot me, kill me when I went to meet them. I just didn't know, you know. But in my prayers, what I need to say is my prayer had changed over the years to God. If they need me, you know my heart, I'm here for them, okay? God is, like, amazing. My daughter called, I met her, and she tells me that my 19-year-old son at the time was in prison for murder, okay? Is that God working or what? Like, if they need me, I'm here. He was all alone, his adoptive mother. There was no support, and I'm called. Well, that's when I had my last area service committee commitment 2 years ago. At that time, I was area vice chair, and my sponsor always told me, if you cannot commit to a commitment, do not take it. If you cannot follow through, you step down. Okay? So because of this process, I have to go to court back and forth to Massachusetts from Pennsylvania for a while. So I was missing area service meetings on Saturdays because I was gone. And I was sponsoring probably way too many women at the time, which were consuming my life and not allowing me to service at home. And God, like, let me know, it's time to be a service at home, not just with my own kids, but here's the new kids, like, step up, show up. So I resigned from the position. It's the only position I resigned from, and I struggled with it. I'm like, I don't want to resign from a position, but, like, that was the right thing to do, you know. And it's just been the last 2 years getting my home life together, being of service there. I had just graduated from college a few months after about 6 months after I met him, and got a career, started a new job. So here I am trying to, you know, do the home thing, the career thing. Our lives change as a result of working these steps. Like, we get these gifts. You know, these children are back in my life today. They both came to live with me for a while. My daughter wanted to get to know me. She stayed for 5 months. My son's been in the Poconos for 2 years now. I have to get him out. You know, he was just lack of responsibility, like to drink and smoke a little weed. And, you know, eventually, he's got his own apartment, but we have a good relationship. I talk to my daughter every week. Like, that's beyond my wildest dreams. These people should hate me, you know? They were so forgiving. You know, I had to hold my 18-year-old daughter in my arms, and she wept like a baby. Like, why? Because she had a son. She got pregnant when she was 15, and now she has this 2-year-old, 3-year-old son. And she's like, I could never. She said, I took ecstasy, I drank, and I smoked weed, and I stopped when I got pregnant. How come you didn't stop? You know, and like, thank God for work in the previous steps, because I dealt with the guilt and the shame. You know, I went through those feelings. I felt them. And talking about blocked feelings, when I first came around, when I first met one of my sponsors, she's like, okay, tell me your story so I can get to know you. So I told her my story. Unemotional, okay? And when I got to the kids part about losing these 3 kids, just spewed it right off like it's nothing. No emotion attached. She said, wow. She said, someday you're going to feel that on a deep level. Oh, and I just got to say this. The real miracle is feeling it on a deep level. Check this out. When my daughter called, right? It was her birthday, July 2nd, 2 years ago, right? I'm in the afternoon meeting, okay? And, like, I don't even know how it came about, but I was getting emotional about her birthday, and I really felt emotions, like, real deep. And I was in the meeting, and I was sharing about this and about my daughter. It's her 18th birthday, and you know, I hadn't shared about this in years, and it just came, and like, I just flooded, and I was crying and snotting, and I don't usually do that. It takes a lot to get me crying, and I felt it. I felt it on a deep emotional level. You guys need to know this. And when I got the phone call, it was 2 weeks after her 18th birthday. It was 2 weeks after I felt it on a deep level. That's my spiritual awareness. It's a spiritual awakening. My spirit awoken to feeling, you know, and having deep empathy and caring concern. So anyways, when I did it pretty good. You know, we got a lot of guidance from you guys, but you guys walked me through it. 2 addicts drove to Massachusetts to meet my daughter with me because I was too scared to go alone. I was in my head. All I could do was pray all the way up. They thought I was nuts. I kept saying, God, I trust you with my life. God, I trust you with my life. I love you. I trust you with my life. They thought I was whacked. And then we're getting to the restaurant, I'm like, she's going to be standing there with a gun, you know? The fear setting back in, the fear, okay? What do you do when that sets in? You share, you know, you tell yourself, you know, you deepen that third step in the faith and trust you have in a higher power, you know? And like, everything was okay, and it was beyond my wildest dreams, and like, they forgave me, they loved me, I was able to make, you know, amends in person, like, in God's time, not in my time. But like I said, you know, I have a home group. I go there. Sometimes I miss it because I work Friday nights, but I try to stay involved in it, you know. I talk to people on the phone. I fellowship with people. I do things like this every now and then. Like, I just don't want to die, you know. And my motives for serving now are totally different. You know, like in the early years, like, oh, I got this fancy and, you know, like ego-filled. You know, I have this service. You know, that's all crap. But it was part of my process. You know what I mean? But today I just do things a lot quieter. I have peace. I feel good. For my first 5 years in anxiety, I mean, first 5 years in recovery, I had very high anxiety. I still am very hyper-type person. I get anxiety still. But like, through working the steps, I didn't have to go take meds or anything for my anxiety. And believe me, I had high anxiety, okay? Like, people would talk to me, and, like, I'm talking at 4 years clean. It didn't happen all the time, but people would be talking to me, and inside, they'd be telling me something serious, and I'd be laughing inside and not knowing what to say and feeling nervous and thinking I'm insane. Like, maybe you need to go to a mental hospital. You must need medication. Like, you're insane. You know, like, normal people don't act like that. But through the process of the steps, I came with that acceptance of me. And the more I got acceptance of me, the anxiety started to go. You know, I started to learn some social skills. You guys taught me how to be a mother. You know, told me, like, don't let your kids run around in meetings. Like, people just helped me and guided me along the way, you know. But the anxiety, it's just from prayer and meditation and, you know, having some of those defects removed, that's a gift. You know, in the 7th step, actually having some of them removed, you know, and getting that relief, it's just an awesome thing. But anyways, we can't keep what we have unless we're, you know, willing to give it back, to share. And it's not just through service. I talk a lot about service because it's my experience, strength, and hope, you know, but there's all kinds of ways to give back, you know. But I don't ever want to stop that, you know. In some ways, some things have lessened, but you know what? I'm here, and I still work on my personal recovery because that's the most important thing. Without that, you know, I can't do anything else. And work in the traditions is also a part of my story. Work a step, work a tradition, work a step, work a tradition, and, like, that's how we do it. But, you know, you guys helped me, so, like, I got to continue to give it back. And I get complacent sometimes and get those feelings, like, I don't want to go anymore, you know. But when I see something, you know, like a newcomer, and the glow starts to come back and they start to get better, and, you know, it just kind of umps me up. And last night, I'll close with this, but last night with the main speaker meeting, like I was saying earlier, I got really emotional and I started crying. And then after the speaker, like once he started the recovery process and everything, like I identified so much in like what's going on in my life today right now. And it talked about this in the 12th step too. We can carry the message, but we can't carry the addict, you know. I have a 13-and-a-half-year-old daughter that I just discovered is using a couple of months ago, you know. And, you know, I was really, like, identifying, and when he said his kid's this age, I'm figuring, okay, 6 years, oh, 13, same as my daughter, okay, he's stepping back, he's letting go, he's reminding me that she has her own higher power, he's reminding me of my first 3 steps, like, I can't do this. We have to allow an addict their own pain when they're ready, you know. I can't tie her up, fix her, beat her up, pray over, any of that, even though I want to, I can't, you know. And I think I approached it in a pretty good way, but my first reactions were, should she go to rehab, blah, you know, and it's all bull. She's drinking, she's smoking weed, she's 13-and-a-half years old, I need to step back, you know. And it was just really emotional. And then at the closing, there was a young girl up there afterwards, and, you know, I just, like, it was a God thing. See, that's how God works, because I got what I needed, and, like, God spoke through him, and then he spoke through that young girl. Although all she did is go up there and say her name and do a reading. But her name happens to be my daughter's name. And, like, she was young. And I'm like, there's the hope. This girl just gave me the hope. He gave me the hope. Like, you know, someday I'll have to allow her a process. But she knows where to come. She's been raised in N.A. She's been in N.A. since she's been in diapers. She knows about the family disease, and, like, you take that first drug, you know, it could set it off. She knows all that, but she still chose to pick up, you know. But that's her choice. But I'll be there for her, and she knows where to go, you know. It might be a long road, but I just got to keep remembering, like, I'm powerless, you know. I can't get in there, control, and fix. I can't change. I can't spoon feed her, you know, recovery or, you know, the horrors of what her life may be. But it's painful because I don't want her. She's my daughter, you know, and I don't want her to experience even a fraction of what I experienced, because my using was a horror show, okay, a total horror show, you know. But thank God, like, there's young girls like that girl last night that are recovering, man. It gives me so much hope, and it makes me want to stay, and I got to stay because, you know, if I'm not here, my daughter does go through that process, and I'm not here, like, you know, where's the power of example, the role model? And it talks about that in the 12th step, too. Just how we're living, you know, people see how we're living. That's the greatest gift of all, to see how we're living. But anyway, thank you for letting me share.